American Weekly.
Presenting Switchboard Secrets, another in the series of dramatizations based on stories featured in the American Weekly, the magazine which is distributed at all first to Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Switchboard Secrets was inspired by a story which will appear in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly magazine. It was produced in the New York studios of the General Broadcasting Company. Have you ever stopped to think about the story telephone operators could tell if they wanted to? Of course, according to all rules and regulations, they're not supposed to tell company secrets over the switchboard, and most of them live up to the rules. Come with us to the switchboard of a large publication. See those flashing, winking lights. Hear the brisk snapping of the plugs as a competent operator answers the incoming call.
The American Weekly. One moment, please. The American Weekly. The editor's line is busy. Will you wait? The American Weekly. Okay, go ahead. The American Weekly.
Now, this girl hasn't time to gossip, even if she wanted to. But let's see what she's saying.
The American Weekly. Oh, hello, Mamie. Awfully busy. Oh, no, don't hang up. Wait a minute. All the trunks are full, so I can chat a second. Say, Mamie, I wish you could have heard the story one of our writers brought in this morning. Thrilling? I'll say. I wouldn't want to be that girl for $1 million. What? Well, listen to this. It seems the stenographer, who was out of a job, saw an ad in one of the daily papers and answered it.
Yes?
Did you advertise for a secretary typist in this morning's paper?
Well, yes, I did.
My name's Gladys Miller. I've come to apply for the position.
Oh, won't you step this way, please?
Thank you.
Have a seat, Miss Miller. I must ask you to pardon the appearance of the room. I'm afraid I'm not what you might call a tidy man.
Oh, that's quite all right, Mr.
Byers, Professor Byers.
Oh.
I'm engaged in writing a scientific book. Most of my bibliography, as you can see for yourself, is scattered around the room.
Oh, if you'll pardon my saying so, Professor, I don't see how you find what you want when you want it.
You're quite right, young lady. That's why I placed that advertisement in the paper. I find I need someone to assist me in my research.
Oh, I should be very happy to.
Thank you, thank you. You are a typist?
And a stenographer, too. I can take down your research notes or whatever is needed in your material, Professor. I'm really quite fast.
Indeed.
I didn't mean it the way it sounded. I meant my shorthand was speedy.
I understand. Have you done literary work before?
Well, to be perfectly truthful, no. But I'm sure I can.
I'm sure you can, too.
You mean I'm hired?
Well, not yet.
I'm really a very good secretary. I can get you references.
I'm not interested in references, young lady.
Well, then perhaps you're interested in this. There, you see? I'm rapid on the machine also. Now, let me get that pencil and a piece of paper. There. All ready, Professor. You start in dictating. Go as fast as you like, because I can take it.
That's quite all right, Miss...
Miller. Gladys Miller.
Oh, yes, of course. That's quite all right, Miss Miller. I'm satisfied that you are accomplished in your vocation.
Do I get the job?
Well, I'm not sure yet.
Well, I don't know what more I can do to prove myself capable of doing your work. You don't want references or tests of speed. Oh, of course, I didn't realize it before.
Realize what?
It's my hair.
Your hair?
Yes, I'm a brunette, and you like blondes or redheads. Well, that can easily be taken care of. I'll change mine to any shade you prefer.
Well, that's most generous and kind of you, I'm sure, but that won't be necessary.
I wish you'd tell me why I won't suit you, Professor.
Well, it's something you're not to blame for, which you can't do anything about.
I'm too plain-looking?
On the contrary, you're a very personable young woman.
Thank you.
That's the trouble. That's why I'm afraid you won't do.
Because you think I'm pretty?
No. Because you're a woman.
Oh.
I said it was something you couldn't do anything about.
Well, yes, I'm afraid it is a little late now.
Wait a moment. I think I have an idea.
Yes, Professor?
Something can be done about it, if you are willing.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Well, I'll be frank with you. I can't stand having a woman around me. I haven't had anything to do with women since... Well, never mind that. We won't go into that now. I wanted a male secretary, but only one has applied an answer to my advertisement, and he was too slow. I like your speed. You seem to have more than average intelligence.
Thank you, Professor.
I'm speaking to you personally, miss. Now, the job is yours on one condition.
And that is?
That for as long as you remain in my employ and in my house, you dress like a man.
What did she do, Mame? Why, see, oh, wait a second. Yes, Mr. Davis. Jones and Hart. Yes, I know their number. Yes, sir. Hello, Mame. It was a boss. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah. The girl thought it would be a kick to go around in boys' clothes. And she needed the job, so she took it. What? Oh, no, nothing like that. He was a perfect gentleman. Well, it seems they got the book finished and the job came to an end. And then her troubles began. You see, by this time, she'd gotten so used to wearing trousers and all that without thinking of what she was doing, she packed all her girl's clothes in her trunk. And the trunk got lost. Yeah. So when Gladys got back to the city, she didn't have anything to wear. Huh? What did she do then? Why, she got a room with a young married couple until her funds ran out, and then she wired home for money. Huh? Did they send it? Sure. And what a pickle she found herself in. Wait till I tell you. See, oh, wait a second, Maine. The American D.C. Business office? Yes, ma'am. Hello, Maine. As I was saying, here she was dressed in boy's clothes and all, so she had to take a boy's name in order to escape answering questions, see? Well, the money came in an order on the local telegraph office, and Gladys went down to cash it.
Well, what can I do for you?
I have a money order I'd like to have cashed.
Very well. Let's see it.
Here you are.
Why, this says pay to the order of Gladys Miller.
Yes, I know it.
Oh, I can't cash it for you.
Well, why not?
Why not? Why didn't I just read you what it says? Pay to the order of Gladys Miller.
Well, you see, I'm...
Oh, now, look here, young man, really. Don't try to tell me you're Gladys Miller. Please, my nerve.
I'm representing Miss Miller.
Oh, is that so? Well, where's your authorization?
I'm her brother, Don.
Well, so what?
I want to cash this money order.
You're this party's brother, are
yes.
you?
Yes.
All right. I'll cash it.
Thank you.
When you come back here with your sister.
Can you imagine being in a spot like that, Maine? Exactly. Holding a check in your hand and not being able to do anything with it? Huh? What's that? No, he didn't cash it. And poor Gladys had to go to one of the charity organizations. And my dear, she slept right in the men's dormitory. Aren't you just tingling? And what she heard, my dear, the way men talk us over is nobody's business. Huh? What's that? Oh, sure, I'll tell you about what happened to Gladys. Well, she managed to escape discovery by coming in late at night and undressing in the dark. And in the morning, she... Oh, wait a second, Maine. Yes, Mr. Davis? You got the aquarium? Oh, I'm so sorry. I'll try Jones and Hart again. Hello, Maine. The boss again. As I was saying, Gladys got along okay for about a week or so. And then one morning, while she was in the washroom...
Oh, boy, am I tired. Those cots are like railroad ties for sleeping.
Yeah.
I guess you and me is the last to scrub up, huh?
Yeah.
Say, kid, anyone ever tell you you talk too much?
Yeah.
Well, they was lying.
Yeah?
Well, I guess I'll beautify myself for today. You mind if I borrow your soap?
Nope.
Thanks. Oh, say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to knock your razor off the ledge.
Oh, that's all right.
Never mind, kid. I'll pick it up for you.
Well, shucks, I'm not a cripple.
Oh, neither am I. There you are.
Thanks.
Oh, wait a second. I didn't bust it, did I? Let's see.
Oh, no. It's all right, honest.
Say.
What's the matter?
Nothing.
I guess we'd better be hurrying or we'll be late for breakfast.
Yeah.
Say, what are you looking at me that way for?
What way?
Well, I don't know exactly, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah?
Well, I guess I'm already all but brushing my teeth.
Ain't you gonna clean up your razor?
Not just now. I'm late for breakfast.
Well, ain't you afraid your blade will get all rusty?
Oh, that's all right. I don't care.
You don't, huh?
I got plenty of blades.
Oh, yeah?
Sure.
Ain't that just dandy?
Well, so long. I'll see you later.
Wait a minute. Don't be in such a hurry, sister.
Say, who are you calling sister? Why, I...
Now, take it easy, girlie.
What do you mean, girlie?
You know what I mean.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you do.
No, I don't.
I saw your razor hasn't any blade in it. Why, you're no more a fella than I'm a chorus girl.
Well, I guess I better get a move on.
No, you don't. You stay right where you are.
What are you doing?
Just locking the door to make sure that we ain't interrupted no more.
Why?
Why? Because you and me is going to have a nice little talk, sister.
What do you mean?
You heard me. Now take it easy, Gilly. There's nobody here but me and you. Say, what's the big idea?
The big idea?
Yeah. What are you doing here in them clothes?
Well, I lost my trunk. I haven't any clothes but these and no money to buy any.
Is that so? Well, now, that's just too bad.
You don't believe me?
Now, because I've been reading about you and your kind, Gilly. You like to see how the other half of the world lives. You get a kick out of it, don't you? Something to serve up as tea party chatter for a dull winter afternoon.
Oh, listen, you got me all wrong, mister. I tell you...
Shut up. I'm doing the talking here. You and the rest of your fancy friends get amusement in taking guys like me apart to see what makes us go. You call it slumming.
Oh, no, honest. I'm telling you that...
You ain't no Park Avenue apartment now, sister. And this time, I'm going to give you something that you won't want to talk about.
You keep away from me.
Why, how you talk, Miss Van Aster. Come here, baby.
Let go of my arm. Keep your hands off me.
Say, I bet you're a swell dish in your regular clothes with your hair all slicked up and wavy.
Let me go, do you hear?
And some lipstick on that pretty little mouth.
Beast.
Oh, a little fighter, huh? Swell. I like dames with some fight in them.
You unlock that door.
Not until I'm ready, sister. Now, that ain't gonna do you no good, girlie.
Get me out of here. Get me out of here.
You'll what? Scream? Oh, no, you won't.
Get me out of here.
I guess you know what the head guy around here do if he finds out what you really are. And they make it plenty tough for dames what masquerades as men.
I don't care. I'd gladly go to jail if I could only get out of here.
Why, I ain't so bad. If you look me over careful. Come here, baby.
Listen here, mister.
Call me Mac.
Listen, Mac, you got me all wrong.
Yeah, I heard that before.
Maybe you have, but you never heard it when it was any more on the level.
What do you mean?
I'm not from Park Avenue. I'm from Corbridge, New York. I came to the city about 6 months ago looking for work, and I answered an ad for a stenographer and got the job on condition that I dress like a man.
You don't say.
Oh, please listen. You've got to believe me. You've got to. It's the truth, every word of it.
I'm listening.
Well, when the job was finished, I packed all my clothes with these and sent them on ahead of me. My trunk got lost. I was stranded here without clothes or friends or money, and
why didn't you make a touch on your folks?
I did. I wired home for money, but...
But they turned you down. Yeah, I know.
No, they didn't. They sent me the money.
Then what are you doing here? This is a charity joint.
Well, they sent me the money order in my real name, Gladys Miller, and I couldn't cash it in boys' clothes. Please, here it is.
So what?
Oh, please listen to me. I swear I'll give it to you if you let me go.
Well, a lot of good does it do me. How could I get it cashed?
You help me get some girls' clothes, and I'll cash it for you. And I'll turn it all over to you, every cent. Oh, please let me get out of here. I just can't stand anymore.
Say, you may be one of them actresses and just fooling me. But somehow I can't help but believe you.
Oh, I'm telling you the truth, Mac. Honest.
Well, okay, sister. You can go.
Thanks, Mac. Here.
Nah, I don't want your money order.
Oh, but I promised it to you.
Oh, that's all right. So you got spunk, sister.
Yeah, I like your nerve.
You know, you're a smart doll putting up at a place like this. And even shaving every morning with a fake razor to keep up the bluff.
You won't give me away.
Yeah, why should I? Ain't you got the same right to live as me?
Isn't there something I can do for you?
Well, if you put it that way, yeah, maybe there is.
What is it?
Will you give me your ration of smoking tobacco from now on?
Oh, sure thing. Don't you want my razor, too? Wasn't that lucky for her, Mame? After a while, she managed to get some girl's clothes and change back again to being herself. Gee, I bet she was glad to pluck her eyebrows and marcel her hair again. I know I would be. Huh? What's that, Mame? Oh, sure. Lots of other things happened to her. Oh, but you'll have to read the story for yourself. Huh? When's it appear? In next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly magazine. Yes, don't miss it. Oh, well, here comes another call. I gotta go. Yes, Mr. Davis. What? You didn't get the number? Oh, I'm so sorry.
And that's a mighty good tip for you as well as for Maine. Be sure to read the many other interesting experiences of this young girl who, through necessity, wore male attire. You will find them all in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly magazine under the heading, Lost Her Trunk, and the astonishing things that resulted. The American Weekly is a magazine which is distributed with all first to Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Thank you. presenting Retribution, another in the series of dramatizations based on stories featured in the American Weekly, the magazine which is distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Today's radio drama was inspired by an interesting story which will appear in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly magazine. It was staged and produced in the New York studios of the General Broadcasting Company. And now, the American Theater of Radio presents Retribution. This is the story of a true bohemian. Come with us to the Café Bohème and let our characters unfold the story.
Hello there, Deegan.
Well, for the love of Hanley, where have you been?
All around. How's Trick?
There. Say, we all thought you'd passed on and were writing heavenly dramatic reviews now.
And you hope they'd be better than the ones I've done for your lousy paper, huh?
Yeah, only the lousy describes your reviews better than my paper.
Then why don't you get a better man to do them for you?
I wouldn't a minute if I could get him.
Who's my rival?
Armand Darcy.
Back number Darcy?
That's who, Uncle Armand. Nobody knows the history of the theater and the personality of the stage like he does. And tonight, I'm going to see if I can't persuade Armand Darcy to write exclusively for me.
That means I don't write any more freelance stuff for you, huh?
Not if I can get Darcy.
You want to make a little wager on that, Deegan?
Oh, I think I can persuade him all right, Hanley.
But you're not sure enough about it to bet, are you?
Of course. What stake?
That if he doesn't accept, you'll offer me the job.
Oh, and if he does?
If he does, I'll gladly turn second-string critic and write for nothing.
Well, I've got to have somebody write for me. I don't see how I can lose either way. I'll take you up on that.
Good. And here comes your man, Darcy, now.
Oh, Armand.
Hello.
Won't you join us?
Well, my old friend, Editor Deegan and Critic Hanley. I shall be charmed. Thank you.
I came here specially to see you, Armand.
Indeed. I'm flattered, my dear Deegan.
Well, when you hear what he has to say, and then you'll be even more flattered.
I want you to do the drama reviews for my paper.